Good evening, everyone. It's good to have Sister Vicky and Brother Amelia back. They were goofing off for a couple of days. Anyway, last week we have the wonderful opportunity from the Lord Jesus Christ to come in our midst and really minister to two of his children, Brother Amelia and Shelly.
Yes.
So it's wonderful. I would say to you right now that put on your spiritual eyes. A lot of things are happening in the world. But right now, Russia is repositioning itself in Syria. We need to be paying attention, not because what they're going to do in Syria, is because what the scripture says, that Gog and Magog, those are the countries from the north part of Israel. Not Israel, but north of Israel, shall I say.
What is Syria on the side of Israel?
They were either Aram or they were known as Syria. Even in the prophet Elisha days, Naaman, the Assyrian general who had leprosy, went down into Israel because a slave girl who was an Israelite told her mistress, the female former master, that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal him. And so Naaman went to the king, Assyrian, got permission to travel down into Israel, and he went and found Elisha, and he sent for Elijah once they arrived to his house. Elijah didn't even go out and meet him. And he told him to go and wash himself 7 times in the Jordan. Number one, Naaman was offended because Elijah did not come out and meet this distinguished general. Because he was a great guy. And the scripture tells us that God was with Naaman and made him what he was. And he sent a very powerful message. And what he did with Naaman there, although Naaman got upset, the servant said, "Master, if he would have told you to go and do something else to heal you, would you have done it?" Because Naaman said, "Do we not have cleaner rivers back in Syria? Why do you want me to go and wash in the nasty river of all, the Jordan?" So he kind of had an attitude there, but he said, "Look, all they want you to do is go and wash." And he did, and he was healed. After the 7th dip into Jordan, his leprosy went away. And what's so wonderful about that, Lord Jesus used that as a testimony in his day about what God did with that Syrian general. So, this is just so good, what we're about to see here. The Apostle Paul is taking the gospel and he's explaining how the gospel transforms people's lives. Two important aspects that you get out of chapter 12 here is, number one, Paul says the power of the gospel is powerful enough to save any person. And the second thing about it, Miss Marie, and you love this part, not only to bring salvation to any human, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to transform any human's life. What does that mean for you and I? That means it's not good enough to just say I'm saved. Your life need to reflect the salvation of Jesus Christ. It has to be a change. And that's what Paul is doing in this particular chapter. And we seen in verse 1 how he pleaded with the Christians there in Rome. He said, as we see, the charge that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he kind of used something out of the odd there in describing what he's asking you and I to do even today. He said, reason. Paul said, yes, you can use human reasoning to look at your life according to the gospel and use human reason to say, wait a minute, I know I'm not living like that, so I need to make a change, okay? we're going to, Father, let's open it up in prayer. Let's talk to the Lord about wonderful things that he's doing in our midst, in spite of what we're seeing, right? And so, Father, we thank you so much for the wonders of your Son, Jesus, who told us while sitting on the mountain how to pray to you by telling Israel to pray in this manner or this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, that prayer is so powerful when we don't rush through it and understand every element of it. And we're asking, we're giving God worship. That's what God requires. When he says, hallowed be thy name, that's giving God, like saying hallelujah, right? Mm-hmm. In the form of praise Yahweh, okay? Yes, lift him up, give him the glory, give him the honor that he rightly deserved, okay? And then to come out and tell God, holy is your name. And I'm glad that we do that because it doesn't depend upon any human involvement to see that God is holy. God is holy all by himself. Yeah. Okay, whether we agree with it or not, it doesn't change who he is. Yeah. And Lord Jesus wanted us to know that. Another thing he said, usher in God's kingdom. Ask God to bring it to earth because it's already in heaven. Now, Lord, just bring it down here. And then, Lord, allow your will to be done, too. Let it be done as it is in heaven. As I was sharing with some of you, and I preached a sermon last Thursday at a Christian school last week on Psalms 119, verse 8 and 9, which said, oh, Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven. That means it's a done deal. Okay? And we're just asking God to just bring whatever he has done in heaven, let it be done here on earth. Paul seeing something so wonderful, amazing, awesome, outstanding, even in some people's eyes, outrageous, but who care? In other people's eyes, terrible, but who care? The things that Jesus did here on earth. And he's going to talk about some of those things in this letter, what Lord Jesus did. Because all these things involve the transformed human life, okay? You go from the old to the new. You're not the same person. So now your physical body, your behavior, your attitude, your personality, your characteristics, everything about you, your values, all that stuff need to reflect Jesus, okay? It needs to reflect Jesus. When you're driving down the road, you know how some of you like to be concentrated on other things? Now your concentration needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you have a new person in your life who would never forsake you, never leave you, never abandon you, never turn your back. Okay, and he's now getting his brand new church to turn themselves in the direction of Christ, fix their eyes upon the author and finisher of our faith. That's very important to do, and it is so hard for people to lose the control of their lives over to Jesus. One of the things that Lord Jesus said, he said, unless you come to me as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? Why little children? Because this baby doesn't know where you're going to get food from to feed him. All he knows when he's hungry, like he cried out to my wife the other night, and I didn't pick it up, but she did. He was asking for peanut butter and jelly. And I didn't pick up on it, and he was hungry. But he knew that she had it, okay? Because that's why he was whining and crying. To trust Jesus is to go to him the same way as a little child, trusting that everything we need is in him. That's why he said to pray to God, give us our daily bread, knowing that every day. And in that same context of that teaching, Jesus began to, in a sense, reprimand the Jewish people for not depending on God for their daily substance. And they said, can you add one cubic inch to your stature? Can you make yourself taller? smaller? Can you make one hair grayer by you worrying about the things you need every day? And place your trust in him. Paul now, with the church in Rome, getting them, place your trust in Jesus. Every day, even though you're a young church, you're a young Christian, place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what he does with your life. And it's a wonderful thing when a person can see the results in their own life. When you can actually look in the window or in the mirror every day and say, ooh, you know what? I remember a day that when a person did this to me, I would cuss them out or I would knock them out. Now, I don't even like people cussing, period. It's just wrong to cuss another human. And some of you, you have seen the change in your own life over the years and see what Lord Jesus has done. And your appetite for certain things changes because of the gospel's sake, the power of the gospel in you said, you know what? I just put a new flavor in your mouth. That's a nasty flavor. Don't go to that. You don't have to seek after that appetite. I give you a brand new appetite, and that's after the things of God. Okay? The things of Christ. The things of Christ. The things of Christ. So, picking up here in the text, and it said, be not conformed to this world. That means it's time now for some reshaping, some re-guiding, some retraining, and some rediscipline. Because, face it, a lot of us are well disciplined in the things of the world. Are we not? Well, use that same kind of discipline to retrain yourself in the things of God. I tell the kids today all the time, I say, you teenagers can do this. You can learn the Word of God just like this. I say, you know how I know? Because if you turn on the football channel, you know all the stats of all these players. You know what school they went to, what high school, what their family does. You know how many touchdowns or how many basketballs they, you know, shots they do, how many jumps, how many assists, how many steals. Okay, you know all that stuff. It takes some effort. Not about one or two or three or ten people. They know it about the whole league. And they call it out. Do they not?
They sure do.
But why can't you do the Word of God the same way? And when you fix your heart to do the things of Christ like that, guess what he would do for you? He would take it now and transform your way of thinking from the earthly realm into the heavenly realm. Okay? Now you'll be able to see things in heaven that you didn't used to be able to see on earth. You'll be able to understand spiritual things that you weren't able to understand before.
Amen.
Okay? And also, when trials and tribulations hit you, you'll be able to be anchored in the one who is the anchor, Christ himself. Okay? And that's why he told, in some of his teachings, Lord Jesus, he used this analogy about two different people. He said, there was a man that built this house upon the sand. And the other one on the rock. The one who built this house upon the sand, when the flood came and the wind beat up on the house and the water rushed in, that house came tumbling down. He called that man a foolish man. But then there was the other one who built this house upon the rock. Okay, he dug back until he hit the flat rock. Is that what it's called? A bedrock, right? He hit the bedrock and there he built this house. He built this foundation. And so when the wind blew up on that house, the house was stable. And when the floodwaters hit the foundation, it didn't crumble. It held together. It stood fast, okay? He said, that's what the Christian life is supposed to be. That's called now being transformed into the things of God. Because the Holy Spirit is the glue that holds us together. Okay? No matter what comes at you. So, it says here in verse 3, and this is where we left off, we started. For through grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. A couple of things that's going to stick out to you. That is the mindset. Do not think more of yourself than what you really are. You know, there's a saying in this country, you think you all of that and a bag of cookies or whatever thing, y'all, bag of chips, a whole biscuit. I don't know what you say. But,
all that and more.
Yeah, all that and more, right?
So
But some people really are. I seen guys when I was in the military. I know what Sergeant E5 pay is. I know what a E4 pay is. I know what a private's pay is. All the way up to the top rank in the military, I knew what their pay were. But then you see these guys, they'll pull up in a car that is so fancy. And when they get dressed to go out to the clubs, they will wear the best suits. And then come Monday morning, they have to ask their buddy for money for lunch. All right, bro, can I get $5 for some gas? I go, wait a minute, dude. I know what you make. What you need to do, go take this car back and get one you can afford. Okay? And stop buying them high-priced suits, trying to impress people, trying to be more than what you are. We all know what you are. So you need to come back down to earth, dude. Okay? Stop trying to be more than what you really are. We see it all the time. And one of the things that we see in the church world, and it's very, very dominant. Well, it used to be, I don't know about now, but it used to be very dominant in the black churches, that they would put on a $200 dress, a $500 suit, their big old broad brim hats, big old 6-inch heels, huh? Flashy jewelry. Am I making a statement now? And they come strutting down the aisle, and some of them make sure they're late so other people can do what?
Look
and see them. And they drive their best Cadillacs or whatever up to the church door and try to take the closest parking space is taken, they'll make one. And I sit back and I'm going, is that really you? And then what's really sad about all of that, and Paul talking about thinking highly more than what you really should of yourself, younger folks see this and they think that's the way you are to impress God. So what do? They go out and they try to up one on you. Right? And then they develop cliques based upon how they look. Because supposedly this brings them social status, a higher social status within the church, right? Because their mindset is that, I am somebody, and you're not. Wow. So they bring the arrogancy right on into the house of the Lord. And we see the issue, even during Paul's day, the problem that this causes. You remember the letter he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he was talking about this wonderful thing that we're supposed to do as often as we remember it. What is that called? Yes, communion, the elements. He said, I've been told some of you are coming here getting drunk. And others are bringing your lavish meals in and you're eating and you're not sharing with others who have nothing. Oh, they were showboating. Mm-hmm. They really were. Paul said, listen, don't you have houses that you can go home and get drunk in and eat? Come here doing this stuff in God's house. Showing off. Okay. Do you think that stopped today? Do you think there's some merit to what he's talking about? Right here, not to, you know, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to. Think? That's, folks, I hear people say in my own family, oh, he just jealous of me. They jealous of my car. They jealous of my wife. They jealous of my bank account. Or jealous of, dude, if you really got your head that high in the clouds? Huh? And I say, look, when they would invite us to certain events, they said, no, I'm not going because I'm tired of the foolishness. Okay? What happened to what James wrote? He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Him and Peter both wrote a similar statement in their letters. Said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will exalt you in due time. And what is the other one? God resists the proud and gives grace to the what? Humble. Okay? That means your mindset got to be fixed on Christ and say, Lord, I'm your lowly and meek servant. What do you want from me today? But was that something new? No, because if you go back to the book of Micah, you find out that the Lord says, oh Israel, here's what's required of you before your God. That you walk humbly before your God, to love justice and to do what's right. Woo! I mean, God doesn't want you to be conceited? No. God doesn't want you to be arrogant? No. And even long before that, the most wisest king in the world that ever lived was named who? Solomon. David's son. Did you know what he wrote? He said there's 7 things that God hates, and 6 are an abomination to him. The first one on the list is a proud look, a proud heart. Why do you think that was the first on the list? Huh? So God said, I'm going to knock you down a notch or 2 or all the way down if I have to.
Because pride is the beginning of your demise.
Yes!
And your own worship.
Yeah, you become an idol to yourself, which is what God said, do not what? Do. And so this is pretty, for a Jew, Paul, I guess we will say in our day and time, he's hidden below the belt. But it's a much needed hitting below the belt. And I would preach like this every Sunday if y'all would let me. But I think on Communion Sunday, you kind of expect me to come. Pastor, now, come on now, you're the pastor. We expect just a little bit more from you, for God, right? Okay, right, Dick? So, and it's okay, and I do. I try to present both. You know, ways of appearance. The relaxed appearance, and at the same time showing God, Father, I'm here to respect you and to exalt you, even in the way I look. Okay? And so, that's one thing that you see in verse 3, that you got to get rid of that proud look, that proud thinking, okay? In order to be conformed to the ways of God, in order to be transformed. So now, looking at from the New American Standard, let's say, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Okay? Well, you may have a bad opinion of me, but I don't have a bad opinion of me. Unless I look at God's word and say, look what you did. And you go, oh my God. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Help me to repent. Help me to repent. But your opinion of me may not necessarily matter if it's not in accordance with God's word. But if your opinion of me is lining up with God's word, then I probably need to be listening to you. Because the Holy Spirit may be saying something through you to me. Okay? And so I don't need to turn a deaf ear to you. Okay? Then it goes on to tell you and I, look at this. But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Miss Vicki, you ever wonder why certain things you don't fret over? Mr. God's going to handle this. Even though it may have taken 7 years, may have taken 9 years, may have taken 13 years. No, God got this. I don't care about the time. I know my God got this. Why? Because God has given you a measure of faith for that. Okay? You're calling. You're a musician for the Lord, right? Or you're not confident in that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has given you the faith that you need to be confident in that calling. We need to realize the confidence that God has placed in us for the calling. We need to understand the faith. My gift is in teaching. I need to understand that calling. And I need to assert myself in a fashion that I can do that calling to the best of my ability, because God has given me a faith. So, oh, yes, I can. I used to look at myself as being inferior to other people when it came to intellectual abilities. I go, how do they remember all that stuff? I go, oh, my goodness, I don't know that. Oh, that's too hard. I can't learn a foreign language. How am I going to know? I messed up in English. How in the world am I going to learn a foreign language? And it was really bad. You're talking about bad self-esteem. And then Shelly said, Pastor, stop that. You don't have a bad self-esteem or low self-esteem. Because when you allow the Spirit to move you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, do you think the Holy Spirit made dummies?
Nope.
No. One of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, I'm going to give you a minute. One of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 28, where we see the gifts were first given by the Spirit of God to a man. And his job was to design all the stuff for the tabernacle and build the tabernacle. God said, I've given him the spirit of wisdom. God has given by faith, by the Holy Spirit, each one of us a spirit of wisdom for a certain calling. Okay? For a certain job. That's why when you cross over into somebody else's calling, you mess up.
Wrong place.
Okay? I may not be the pastor that can play a piano and sing and then get up and preach. That's not me. Okay? But he may not be able to teach like I can teach. Okay? But in either case, we both have gifts from the Holy Ghost for a purpose. To build up the body of Christ. And you know, the uniqueness of this is that we can look at this in Hebrews chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And Paul will describe what we call the fivefold ministry. How he gave some pastors, some prophets, and you know, apostles and teachers and evangelists. And it goes on to tell us, why did he give those positions like that? It says, for the building up, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Okay? Why? He said, until we all come to maturity, in other words, in the unity of the faith, every believer in Christ needs to grow to a mature Christian woman, Christian man. Okay? And collectively, using those gifts, we help each other. That's the purpose of the staff of the church. Okay? All these positions work together as the staff of the church. And Jesus Christ had all the gifts listed. Apostle Paul had all of them. He was an apostle. He was a prophet. Yes? He was a pastor. He was an evangelist. He was a teacher. He did them all. And you see, some pastors are equipped to... I heard people say, well, you really don't want your pastor to be an evangelist. You be what the Holy Spirit said you to be. Okay? And so we get together and we said, and we equip you. And we start by giving you the word of God. What does the Lord say? Okay? What did Lord Jesus say? What did God have Isaiah tell you, or Ezekiel, or Daniel, or Jonah? Okay? What was Moses doing? Why did God take Moses to Mount Hur? Because it was Mount Sinai. The same mountain that God himself would come down on top of and have his people worship him. Moses didn't have to go looking for it. It was at the burning bush. Now, by the way, that just came to me just a couple of weeks ago. The same mountain where Moses seen the burning bush was the same mountain God came down on top of and gave the commandments to men. Oh my Lord, what a revelation knowledge. Okay,
amazing what God will do. So
here we are, standing off this day. The measure of faith. The measure of faith is so important, what Lord Jesus has done for you and I. He knew exactly what he was going to give you. He knew exactly what he was going to give you. He's going to give you, okay, the picture, the images that you've seen in the church. God knew exactly what he was doing with you on that. Okay? He knew exactly what he was doing with you. And the dreams and things that God has been giving me. And I come back and I give y'all that revelation knowledge from those dreams. God knows exactly what he's doing. Okay? Because he's given us faith to match those revelation knowledge. Because faith turns into action. And action turns into praise and worship of God and Lord Jesus. Why do you think Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he said, greater works than these you shall do, for I am going to return to my Father. Why did he say this? And he said, ask anything in my name and I will do it for you. Why did he say that? Well, he tells us. He said, so that the Father will glorify the Son. That's why. Not to make you get up there and look good and you can write books and earn millions of dollars over. Or not so that people can go and do this and that and make you national acclaim or international acclaim. No, it's done for one purpose and one purpose only. Jesus. That God will glorify his Son, Jesus. Period. Sometimes it bothers me, going, Lord, I'm hurting down here. And I'm struggling. And the gates of hell continue to come against me, Lord. And then I remember something from the Lord the other night. He took my little happy butt to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Lord, I know this. Read. And I get to verse 13. There is no temptation such as common to who? To man. But God is faithful. Uh-oh, we're on to something. He said, oh, you're getting excited now, huh? I had to remind you who I am. So you're thinking all the hurt and all, you don't think I see that? Or the lack thereof of substance that you have, you don't think I see that? Okay. So you don't think I don't see the desires of your heart, what you want to do for me? But my plan is first, son. My plan is first. Okay, Lord. Because one day this week, I was struggling with something very hard. Again, he took me back to that same verse, big brother. And Shelly had to remind me once again, I am faithful. Hello. Father, you don't have to keep hitting me upside the head now.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to. A measure of faith. It's your gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. And no devil in hell can take it away. No, doesn't matter what the tide waters are like. Okay? How deep they are and how strong the current is. When God said, you stand, you stand. There. Next week I'm starting a new preaching series. Hallelujah, glory to God. Yes, baby. Through revelation, you know Jesus. Every now and then God makes me nutty. All right. Don't echo from that. But do you see? This is glorious stuff, what Lord Jesus is doing. I mean, a man is sitting writing a letter to a church. Boy, I could just see the emotions rolling through him from the Holy Ghost. One moment he's happy about it. Yeah, they're my children. The next minute go, whole church and room. I'm not so sure he's doing it, but that's just my way of looking at it. And Shelly, hopefully you'll be a little bit better than RV. Person right here and scroll up for me slowly. So, verse 4, but just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. Miss Vicki, when we see you playing the piano, you're almost like a helicopter pilot. You're using everything. Okay? Both your feet there, and your hands up here, and your mouth is going. You're using everything there, and your mind is in motion. Paul said that the body of Christ is the same way. Even though there are many members in the body with different functions, it's still one body. It's the body of Christ. Okay? Still one body. You have your gifts, I have mine. And Paul does a wonderful job in describing this over in his letter to 1 Corinthians, which is going to be our next Bible study, the next book over, after I teach y'all how to study the Bible for a week. In that book, he will detail about the members of the body and how one member is not to look down on another because, you know, the eye is in the best position of everything. It sees everything, right? But they saw the ears because they hear what? Everything. And so is the mouth because it does what? It speaks. And the hands, it feels everything. And it does the work. And the feet goes everywhere. Are y'all getting this now? But they're all members of the same body. But what about their baby toe? Or their little pinky on the finger?
There's more than you think.
Yeah. Or the thumb. Cut the thumbs off and see you pick up a piece of paper.
Breaking.
Or cut the big toes off and see you run. You'll lose your balance, won't you? Well. Not so not needed now, huh?
Everything's important.
God knew exactly what he was doing with us. So did Lord Jesus Christ. We'd appointed different gifts in the church. Paul is saying, even though we're a body of Christ with many members, and look what he's saying to you and I. So we are many. Look around the world. We got brothers and sisters in Christ that we've never seen before. Right? Are one body and individually members one of another. But we're stuck together by the glue of the Holy Spirit. We're made a union by the Holy Spirit. We have the same common bond, and it's Jesus, the Son of God. We are the community of believers, Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
We take care
of each other. That's why over in 1 John chapter 1, John writes it so beautifully about how their fellowship with the Father and with the Son, his Son Jesus, and then inviting other people to come in and have fellowship with them. Because they knew where their fellowship was, with God and his Son Jesus.
And John riding the bike is proving it.
Yeah, John riding the bike is proving it. He's going out and he's inviting new people into the kingdom. And the ones he find out who are already in the kingdom, he's loving on them. And he's posting pictures every day on Facebook. Man, you want to talk about, woo, man, that brother's doing it. Riding the bike, started in Fort Lauderdale, now he's in Mississippi.
Louisiana.
Oh, excuse me, Louisiana. Oh, he's under man's mother. Okay. So,
here we have it. As we look on, since we have gifts that different according to the grace given to us, God's favor, right? I'll tell you something that happened Sunday. It was the funnest thing. You'll get a kick out of it. I felt really sad Sunday out there sweeping the sidewalk. I was doing your job. And I couldn't do it quite as well as you.
Well, I don't know about that.
I did. I thought, this thing don't look nothing like when he does it. He ain't been here without Pastor giving me the broom. Taking my job. And then Clinton, he came in here, boy, he was rolling Saturday night, and he had them teenagers, Harvey and Zora, he had them squished, and I was over there putting together the bulletin, and doing the secretary's job. We got to get on that, remember? Anyway, no, she was home watching the kids, so she was doing something normal, she was watching the kids. But I was watching, boy, he was on it. And he had them sweep the floor, and he had them mop. Yeah, and Joel mopped the bathrooms, swept them out and mopped them. And R.V. was very attentive in getting the sound system put together. And we kind of laughed at him because he had two ends of the same cord getting ready to stick in the monitor. whoa, what are you doing, man? Having a little fun. But yeah, was learning something important. They were serving God. And that's what this whole chapter is about, is that have to transform life in order to serve God. But God don't use them. Very rarely do we see God using the ungodly for his service. But he does. We've seen it in scripture. But doesn't mean he won't spank their butts. Amen? Okay? So, now he's getting ready to tell Miss Marie. Miss Marie is very vocal. She's very brave. She's very courageous. And she's assertive in making sure people hear the teaching of Jesus Christ. Oh, you need to come here, him. Sometime I want to run and get a coffee. She's talking about me. She's the best Bible teacher in the world. Come here. She talked about, obviously, she hadn't had the teachers I used to have in seminary. That guy would blow me away. But anyway, we're all given a gift. We all need to know our place in that. And he's getting ready to tell us that once the Holy Spirit transforms your life, you have your gift from him, you have the faith to go out and do that gift. Now he's going to say, this is how you're to focus on that gift. Okay? Here's how we focus. Look at this. Since we have gifts that are different according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Accordingly. Okay? The King James Version says, let us according to the proportion of faith. Proportion is a beautiful word in the Greek here that's given. Okay? That means, Miss Vicki, if you get on that piano and you stop giving God your best, you're messing up. That means, Miss Marie, while you're out there encouraging people to come hear the gospel, if you slack on that, you are messing up. That means, Deacon, if you stop serving God and the things of God in God's house, you become a slacker on that, you are messing up. That means you're messing up in your job as a secretary if you're slacking. And I, as a pastor, if I mess up on the teaching and preaching of God's word and the other gifts that God has given me, including the gift of healing, the gift of discerning of spirits, if I'm not asking Jesus Christ to perfect those gifts in me, then I am messing up. And so are you. And any other child of God who washed in the blood of the Lamb. If we're not exercising those gifts to the abilities that the Holy Spirit has given us, we are messing up. We're shortchanging God. We really are.
And so,
what if you aren't quite sure what your gifts are?
Oh, you will know what your gifts are if you go in prayer and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to show you. The Spirit will let you know what your gifts are. And I guarantee you, Shelly, and I sense it, one of your gifts are the gifts of administration. Now, you just need to go to work in it and stop doubting yourself. Okay?
Is that why we are not to criticize people if we don't see them maybe going out and sharing the word as much as maybe someone who's that gifted, but they've got their gift of teaching or their gift?
Yes, we have to be very, very careful. We all are witnesses and we all are required to share. But some have a boldness that's out of this world. And they're out there. You can't be like me, I can't be like her, and she can't be like him.
Right.
But if we're doing nothing, guess what? We're slackers.
Right.
And a lot of people in the so-called church are
slackers.
They're not doing anything. They're going to get fed and doing nothing with it.
So if we're doing our best for what God gave us, we shouldn't be kicking ourselves if we're not as bold as that person.
That's right. Because the Holy Spirit didn't make you like that person. He didn't equip you like that person. Okay? And I sometimes go, Lord, with the teaching ability that you've given me, why am I not in front of a crowd of 10,000?
Go ahead. We're asking the same thing.
Well, I wouldn't be here. But
you know what? God's calling for me is to accept the people he sent me now and to teach you all to the best of the ability that he's given me. And just because there's only a handful of us here doesn't mean I'm to give you any less of quality of teaching that the Holy Spirit has instilled in me. Yes, sir.
Well, maybe you don't see a lot of people here, but you don't know who's listening with that you have that's going out.
10,000.
Reaching out, maybe someone out there needs to hear what you are saying to let that go.
Right, and that's what our son Michael said, Dad. He said, did you know folks in the Philippines and here and there? I'm going, no. He said, yeah, Dad. He said, in the Far East, you're out there.
Yeah.
And so, but doing what God wants me to do is more important than being popular. And even though I'm broke, okay, I want a new truck, Lord, but I'm broke. But get them rich in grace. Those things do not make me. The Lord Jesus Christ made me. Okay. Yeah. So I have a crown of life stored for me in heaven, and what's greater than that? Okay. I have a crown that the righteous king going to give me. Okay? That's my payday. Because when I think about the opposite of that. Woo! All right. So, if you're going to prophesy, do it according to the proportion of the faith. Get on out there and say it. Tell it like it is. Be an Ezekiel, okay? Tell it. Be a Daniel. Tell it. Be like Isaiah. Tell it. Okay? Shall I scroll up, babe? Keep going. And I wish Clinton was here on this one, verse 7. Thank you, Shelly. I wish Clinton was here.
Yeah.
And everybody else, look. If service, the word service and ministering is the same word over here in Greek. Look here, Dick. The koinonia, service, okay? And then this word, daskon, that's teaching, okay? That's to teach. Then teach. Teaching. Teach. If you're a teacher, teach it. If you're a servant,
serve.
Okay? Mop that floor. Wash them dishes. Clean those windows. Okay? Carry out the trash. Serve the Lord with gladness of heart. Do it with thanksgiving. Do it with a grateful heart. Okay? Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. A servant heart. Okay? A servant heart. Miss Marie will come in here without us asking, and she cleaned this place from top to bottom, and at the same time, she's wearing us out. But you know what? I'm okay with that, considering what we're getting out of it. We're getting a clean building. She's giving us a tongue lash. We're not taking care of the house of the Lord better. Okay? I'm okay with it. That's right. So if service in serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, that's you. You get out there and you tell that young person, it's going to be all right. Or you tell an older person, remember what the Lord did for you 10 years ago? Remember when you was on your deathbed and the Lord told death to be still, to behave, leave you alone? But baby, God is still with you. He never left you. Okay? And even if the Lord tells you, sweetie, it's time to go home, rest your head on Jesus' shoulder and go on and take your sleep. When we were viewing my mom's body, little Max looked over in the coffin and he said, she's sleeping. And he was just as happy. He didn't know she had died. He go, Papa, she's sleeping. I go, yes, baby, she's sleeping. Yeah. And so and I looked, when it just penetrated my heart that even a baby understands she's sleeping. And so, look at this. So those who are going to exhort, exhort. Tell it like it is. Okay, build them up. And he who gives with liberality. Don't you know that it's a gift from God for some people to give? They'll pull out their pocketbooks and they go, here, here, here. Wanting nothing back, don't want to be seen, don't want their name mentioned on anything, but they'll give. We have folks come by here sometimes doing that, don't we, Shelly? One family one time dropped a $5,000 check. That's how we got a lot of the stuff we got. That was around about the same time as Vicky had went and seen that piano. You go, we went and got that piano. We were buying a bunch of stuff. We got those speakers. Okay, we got a lot of good stuff in here. Yeah, and so, but whatever it is that the Lord has instructed you to do, Paul is saying, this transformed life requires you to line up to Jesus. It requires you to be horizontally with him and vertical. And to be, allow him to be the center of that cross in your life. Okay? And the result of that is Christian service. That's what it is. You can't serve God and be lazy. It's not enough. And this is what the part that get me, this is a little nugget for all of you. People who say, well, I don't have to go to church to serve God. Really? Then who are you serving by yourself?
Where does it say that
about? And where, yeah, where does it say that? Because it said, do not forsake the assembly yourself together, such have done, as the time draws near. They're forsaking fellowship, thinking they're doing God a pleasure, you know, being pleasurable to him. All right. So he who leads with diligence, in other words, don't be a tyrant. I grew up in a system where people would carry the pastor's Bible, his briefcase. We seen it at my mom's funeral, young lady. What did you see, Shelly?
I'm understanding because I've never seen it before.
And I'm sitting there going,
somebody...
You
got to be kidding me.
The senior pastor had a servant, basically.
Yeah.
Cooler and get him out there. Glass jar or the water bottle, whatever. I think it was a glass jar or something with a straw on it. Glass Coke bottle. I don't know.
It was a Pierre water.
Yes, something.
And put a straw in it and
brought it to her.
And I'm looking, I'm going, and carrying the Bibles and stuff. And well, I thought Lord Jesus said, he that wants to be great among you needs to be the servant of all. He says specifically about himself that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what?
Serve.
To serve. That one bothered me sitting there. Back to the scriptures. If I shut my mouth, we may finish this. So he who leads with diligence, so be careful how you lead people. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You don't have to always beat a person about the head. One of the things that God told Moses, he said, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful, and I will be gracious towards whom I will be gracious. Lord Jesus put it out this way. You want mercy? Give mercy. Okay? Let love be without hypocrisy. Wow. What does that mean? You don't love people because you want something in return. And too often the normal human response is, I love you if you love me. That's not God's love. Agape love, as we call it in English, says I love you regardless what you do for me. What did we do for God for him to send his son here? All thing we did was made him mad.
Yeah.
And we deserved nothing but his wrath.
Amen.
But yet he sent his baby down here, grew him up as one of us, and then did what? Allowed him to be beat bad. Horribly tortured.
Because that's what we need.
Because that's what we need, a good swift kick up our posterior from God. But instead of him doing that, he sent his baby down here. The Prince of Glory, who's actually the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who angels fall down and worship him. He came down and died on the cross. He took the whips from, you know, on his back by the ones he created. Imagine that. That's always blow my mind. Yeah, so abhor what is evil. I get in trouble with that one. I was reading from a guy, I forget his name, and I'm sure the commentary is up here on the shelf somewhere. And he was saying that because God is perfect in all of his ways, God has perfect love. And equally, God has perfect hatred. Wow, let that be an eye-opener for you.
And he showed that, demonstrated that in Jesus.
Yes.
There was no slack or nothing. He had the full blow.
The full blow of God's wrath upon him. But the lake of fire is a demonstration that God has perfect hatred for sin. How can a loving God send people to hell? Are you kidding me? He wouldn't be a God if he wasn't perfect in all of his ways. The perfection of God says that you mess up, I'm going to get you for that. Unless you follow my plan of salvation for atonement. And that plan of salvation is Jesus, my son. You don't follow that? Then perfect hatred will be allotted to you. Moving right along. Mr. David, can you give us a few more minutes? Just, we want to go right on through this one, and then we'll start, hopefully, the Lord's will, chapter 13 next week. And so, so let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This is a little bit different than the first one. The other one is agape or agape love. This one is philo, where we get Philadelphia from. Brotherly love. Because that's actually, would you believe that's actually the Greek word here? Right here. Let me show it to you, verse 10. This, Brother David, is Philadelphia. That is the exact word, Philadelphia. It is. That is brotherly love. Philadelphia. Okay? So, here we are. Then why is so much hell in the church there?
Jealousy.
If there was Philadelphia in every church.
There isn't.
There's not.
Because it's absent, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a problem.
For the people, that's right.
But aren't people's lives supposed to be transformed here according
Summer.
To what Paul is telling his church now?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it something that we need to be working towards, that transformed life, so that Philadelphia can exist?
And if everybody really was working for it, would be
Yes, ma'am.
Wouldn't
Boy, is that the truth? So Philadelphia is a problem. Brotherly love there. Give preference to one another in honor. Did you notice that? That means when Miss Marie does something good, it's my responsibility to acknowledge that. Okay? She come in here, she clean up this filthy place. Yay! Kudos. Accolades. Beautiful job.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? Playing beautiful. Good. Way to go. Okay, got angels up dancing and glorifying God as you're playing. Cleaning the sidewalk. Even Gabriel don't see streets look like that sometimes. So, oh, brother, you did a good job with that.
I'm going up there to...
Okay. Okay. How are you cleaning the streets of gold? I'm just...
I'll clap for that.
All right. But give honor, what he's saying. Honor one another. Stop tearing each other down. Honor one another. Not lagging behind in diligence. In other words, you got to be very, very careful in the things you do. Intentionally do things and do them well. Okay? When I was in seminary in my graduate program, one of the things they used to say, finish well. And it was a habit on campus. Students would say, brother, love you, finish well. And when I first got there, finish well. Studying them, I'm struggling. Finish well. Well, they're telling me they're wishing the best for me. Finish well. Put your heart in and finish well. Ask the Lord for help when you're struggling. One professor, God bless his soul, he died last year, used to tell us, he said, Dr. Larkin, you're killing us with all this work. He was a Greek professor. You're killing us with all this work. He said, God will give you a measure of grace. I go, but grace ain't having me now. Stella, scroll up, please. Let's get on to the bottom, Lord's willing.
Scroll up. Scroll up. Hang on up, baby girl. We're getting there. We're getting there.
So, not lagging behind in diligence, okay? King James says not slothful in business. Do your job, he's saying, right? Fervent in spirit. Do you know what the word fervent means? Warm-hearted, passionate, you're easily approachable. Mr. David, my boys love him. I remember when we first met him, the boy said, Mr. David, nice, Mr. David, nice. I said, I know he is. Just don't mess with his wife. So, he's nice. Okay? The one you need to watch out for is this one. Nah, we were just joking. But you see
people, you meet them the first time and they're so lovable because they got a fervent spirit. Well, my older brother that you met at the funeral, he said to me some years ago, he said, Sam, one of the meanest members in our church is your sister. And I won't call her name because she might listen to the podcast and then bingo. And I said to him, put out. He looked at me, what? I said, put out. How many times did you tell about it? I said, she don't get it. Don't let her divide God's house. Put her out. He said, Sam, you drive a tough bargain. No, I don't. Put out. What difference in her causing hell, raising hell in God's house than the boy sleeping with his stepmother? Still cause division, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Put her out. She don't straighten up, put her out. Ooh. I meant that too. I'm walking around with the stuff of God. Alright, moving right along. So fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's the bottom line. Serving the Lord. Right, Miss Marie? Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Don't give up. When times get tough, that's tribulation, right? Don't give up. Don't quit. Because people, you're not popular with people. Okay? And finally, there was a couple of people on Facebook. I just had to come tell them straight up, look, I don't agree with you, and if you block me, I'm okay with that too. Because I'm not going to change my views because my views line up with the Word of God. And if you want to block me, go ahead. I'm still going to continue to do what I'm doing. Devoted to prayer. This is the first time we really see Paul coming out collectively telling the church, you need to pray. All of you. You need to get a prayer life. You need to get it together, Romans. Everybody needs to be praying. Not just the leadership, but everybody. Okay? Everybody. Pretty simple. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. What about finish? These two go hand in hand. I don't understand. Why would you allow a saint to starve? Why would you have to be mean and rude to people? Why? If God has blessed your cupboard to be full of food, why would you allow your brothers to be empty? You told him you love him, didn't you? So why won't you make up his like? Oh, now you're talking like a socialist. I'm talking like Jesus. I'm talking like God's children. Okay? And if we can't take care of our own, how are we going to tell those out there, come on in here, Jesus loves you. Go, oh, okay, you treat yourself. I don't want none of that. You all know we try to practice that here, don't we? I'm not tooting our whistle, but the moment we start caring for people, you kick my butt out that door and you don't let me back in, okay, until I repent, because that's what the Lord requires. Bless those who persecute you. Again, Paul is falling back on the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, his Sermon on the Mount. Okay, early part of that chapter. Look, I know none of us like to be arrested. None of us like to be kicked in the butt. None of us like to be slapped and spit on. No one like a knife in their back. None of that stuff. Those things hurt. Nobody like to be talked about. That rumor control, that rumor mill, it destroys people. Nobody like any of that. But it says, why that's happening to you, and if they want to put you on trial for doing what's right, pray for them. Okay? Pray for them. You bless them. Go and be a blessing to them. Hey, I heard your wife is sick. The movie Prayer Room. Anybody seen it yet? Or War Room. You need to see it because part of this right here, you see it in the movie. I won't tell you what it is in case you go see it. But it's powerful.
Where is it?
It was here, but it's not in Gainesville on Newberry Road. No, I'm sorry, Archer Road. Very powerful movie. Tony Evans' daughter is playing in it. Dr. Tony Evans? Bless and do not curse. Okay? Too often in the church, we think of MF and SOBs and bastards and all those as the curse words, right? Mr. David, you're pretty intelligent. Deacon, you're pretty intelligent. And you just said it. Cuss words don't have to be the MF and the SOBs and all that, right? Cuss words could be anything you call a person that's not what they are. You profane the person. And that's the true meaning of profanity. Okay? Even though we look at Jesus at the cross, we didn't see the MF and the SOBs and all that rolling out of their mouths, did we? In the scriptures, but scripture in their revival them. You know another way to say it? They cursed them out. And not just with words. When they ask something to happen in the spirit world to them, when they want to curse somebody, want to cause harm, want spiritual harm to come to a person, that's also cursing. We want a demise, we want a person's downfall. That's cursing, okay? Let me hurry up and get y'all out of here. Rejoice with those who rejoice. All right? Get rid of the jealousy. Don't let the green monster come up in here. Pat him on the back. Hey, man, I'm proud. I'm happy for you, sister. Way to go for the kingdom of God. All right? Big one here. Weep with those who weep. You see somebody hurting? Go put your arms around them. Or put your arms up on their shoulders if they won't let you hug them. Or hold their hands. Call them on the phone. Say, hey, you all right? Are you okay? Do I need to come to you? When he was in the hospital, she told me he was in the hospital. I said, what? I'm coming. When he was in Gainesville, what did I say? What? I'm coming. I'll be right there. And if I'd known the day he was in the hospital, I'd have been there too, Mr. David. But I didn't know the day. You have the same mind towards one another. Okay? Unity. Do not be haughty in mind. Again, you go back there. Don't think highly of yourself, more highly of yourself than what you are. He had already said, now he's calling it haughty. Don't have that prideful spirit. Okay? Bring it down about 400 notches. All right? Humility. Remember Philippians 2:5 about Jesus. What did he do? Come down here not thinking it's robbery to be equal to God, came in the form of a man and became a bondservant. Okay? And he humbled himself and became obedient to even death on the cross. And God, what did what? God did what with him? God highly exalted him by giving him a name that's above what? Every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall what? Confess. Those in heaven, those on earth, those in earth. What are they going to confess? That Jesus is what?
Lord.
To the glory of who? God the Father. Woo! God good. That's what you got to be like. Yeah. Do not be wise in your own estimation or conceit. Okay? If you really think you're wise, sit by Mr. David and see how dumb you are. Oh, I really didn't know that. Sit by Deacon. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay? All right. Scroll it up a little bit more, shall we? About finish. All right, there it is. So, but associate with the lowly. You know how you see those people? You seen them in school? Nobody really want to be with them because they were considered the bottom of the bucket. Right. You seen them? Even on the department, there's certain officers you seen, right? Nobody want to be with them because they go, "Oh, that's just him. He ain't nobody." Well, I'm gonna take them. How you doing, man? Hey, dude, I heard you somebody. So I heard you got it going on, so I just want to come and rub elbows with you.
Does it work? That's all.
Huh? Me? You sure you got the right person? You betcha. Because the moment I heard him say that you were nobody, I knew you were somebody. And I wanted to be with somebody. Okay?
What's that old picture that you seen of the little baby on the phone to say, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk?
Yeah.
You like that one, don't you? Okay. That's good stuff. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Again, Jesus teaching. If somebody slapped you on the cheek, do what? Uh-huh. Miss Marie said, I get that baseball back. I turn the other cheek, all right. No. My wife still got that fighting spirit, and I tell the boys, knock him out. Go, no. That's not Christ's way. As much as I want to, as big as I am, as much as I want to pick up that bar stool and break it across their back, don't you do that. That's not the way of Christ.
But I told Marie, if that boy kicked her again, to punch him in the
mouth. Okay. Do not render evil for evil. Don't plan and plot. Okay, you got me, sucker. I'm gonna get you better. Okay? You wait. The Lord God said, don't you dare do that. Okay? All right, we're coming to an end. Here's where we fall short. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Respect people. Okay? Aretha Franklin got it right 40 years ago, did she? Brother David, R-E-S-C-P-E-C-T. When she sang that, you remember? Call it what? Respect? Yeah. Okay, Shelly, know where you've been. If possible, and this is the part that always touches my heart, because fall right back into the Beatitudes where the Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Okay? Now, look at this. If possible, so far as it is depend upon you, be at peace with all men. We know we're not going to satisfy everybody. We're not going to make everybody happy, Miss Vicky. Everybody get up to sing and gonna agree with you. Okay? But they must remember one thing. And what's that? God put you in charge and not them. When it comes to running this part of this ministry, God put you in charge, not them. Right? When it comes to the teaching part, God put me in charge, not you. But I'm open to suggestions. Amen? All right, let's go. Good stuff, fun stuff. Laugh about all you want. You don't go home and talk about it. All right, we'll save enough for humor. Never take your own revenge, okay, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, say the Lord. Every time I look on something and I see how people treat children, I have a hard time with this. I really do. Picture somebody posted on Facebook, a woman taking a little baby, and I don't know, she was putting it in hot water, just turning it up and down, and then turn it upside down and do it. And somebody posted that on Facebook. Here's where my eyes are going. Somebody find this woman and execute her. That was a thought going through my heart, Mr. Day. I remember some years back, Melissa, little fella, and I'm talking with an investigator, and I'm looking at all types of pictures. Little 5 or 6 month old baby. I don't know if you remember from your criminal classes what blowout is in the cranium. Okay, you do. Well, she had a blowout. I mean, that somebody took that baby, and she had bruises around her ankles. I mean, somebody took that baby, went to the wall, and the neighbor said they heard 3 thumps on the wall, and they thought it was a basketball. And I'm standing there looking, I'm reading the report and looking through the pictures and I'm praying. And you know what I'm thinking? And I'm a pastor too. I'm pastoring the church in Germany. You know what I'm thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Somebody take my .45 for me and put a bullet right in the head. Not one time, not two times, but empty the clip. That's what I'm thinking. But God said, no, don't you do that. Okay? You wait for the wrath of God to come upon that person. Because God will get it. Lord, I'm way over. Mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This part I want to say in the closing prayer. But every Jew understood that. This is a proverb. Would you wear that? That's a proverb. Here's the trick interpretation of the proverb. Reaping coals on someone's head
was an exhibition of you're taking gold out of the ground for the first time, and it's covered in filth, and you're taking it and placing it in the furnace. And that furnace does what? All the impurities off. The draw. Burns it off, right? And then what comes out is what? Pure gold. The analogy here is kindness is the hot coals that you're putting on their heads. And through your kindness to the person, God will touch the hard heart. Okay? And burn off the draw. And through the gospel, through the kindness of Jesus Christ in you, the person's heart will change with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then they will no longer be the person that they used to be. Make sense? Powerful words. Next week, we pick up in chapter 13. Let's pray. The kids got to go to school. Father, we thank you so much for your living word. And I pray, Father, if anyone here needs your touch now, Lord Jesus, they need to sense your presence, Lord. I pray now that they will yield to your spirit. Thank you for your living word. Forgive us where we've fallen short, Lord. Cleanse us by your blood. Fill us with your spirit. And keep us in the service of the Lord until the day in which you call us home, Lord. For the glory of your Son, Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.
This time, shall we?